Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check it out, sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, Friday from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy, he's a Giants fan here. That Giants trade was horrible, he says. They could have got him or Sanders, talking about Dart or Sanders, in the second round. Now they got two less picks for offensive linemen, which they've needed for years. I hate them. I love fans who hate their teams. Oh, I was with you for 25 years. Trust me, I know the feeling. I generally think trades, I mean, again, I'll get back to the Travis Hunter trade. I think Jacksonville's stupid. Like, you trade a first-round pick next year, not to mention, you know, in this year's draft, other picks, but a first-rounder to move up from 5-2 to grab Travis Hunter, who, again, like, is he going to make you a Super Bowl champion? I just don't see the wisdom in it. That's an understatement. Jared Albert, yo, Gil, would like you and Fez's opinion later during hour two. 24-year-old guy coming solo to Vegas for a few nights. Where should I stay, eat, and hang out? Well, Jared, the answer to that question, I'll ask Stevie later. But the answer to that question depends on a lot of things. One, what are you coming here to do? The Cosmo would be one answer if you're trying to, you know, hang out and watch people and talk to people, if you know what I mean. The Win would be the place if you're rolling with a lot of cash. And then if you're just here to bet sports, Circa would obviously be the place to go. By the way, the pool at Circa, not too bad for watching people, if you know what I mean. Dan Groeschel, it's been about 12 hours since the pick, and I'm already exhausted with Packers Twitter and the green and golden tweets. Yes, they get the speedster Matthew Golden at 23. Green and golden, get it? Banshees of Atlantic City, betting on a papal conclave? It isn't hard enough to decipher the intentions of NBA awards voters. Now I have to handicap the movements and inspirations of the Holy Spirit when he continues to ignore all the advanced metrics. That's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Doesn't care about the metrics. We'll see if Felica has a pick later. And D-Gen Southern Gent. It's so great hearing from fans of different teams and their takes. He says, D-Gen Southern Gent says, happy Fontenot finally didn't fudge it up for Falcons fans Friday, Gil and Wyatt. That's the Fontenot finally didn't fudge it up for Falcons fans Friday. So glad the Falcons actually drafted someone that the fans can actually get behind. And is referring to a couple picks, maybe. Atlanta goes early in the 15th pick. They go with Jaylon Walker, the linebacker from Georgia. Jaylon Walker at 15. And then later they traded back into the first round. They traded with the Rams and took James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee. By the way, you see James Pierce? Didn't he have a WNBA girlfriend? In that shot, did you catch that? Is it Rekaya Jackson is her name? Little sort of thrown-in nugget during the draft yesterday. That and Jackson Dart's mom. Swole. Paul Carr is swole, everybody. He talks soccer with us every week, maybe multiple times a week. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Part of True Media Networks, which is Advanced Analytics, which they have permeated throughout major sports in North America. Also the host of the Expected Value podcast and part of the Ringer soccer betting podcast. He joins us now from his home in Topeka, Kansas. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. My favorite part of draft night is the war rooms and trying to see if there's people I know in there. Because we work with NFL and a lot of the analytics staffs in different areas. But it's just trying to find the guy or the girl in the background. Like, oh, yeah, we were in a meeting with her or him or things like that. So I spotted a few of them last night.
I think I have a couple. One is the group congratulations, right? That everybody sort of like you see right after they make their kick, right after they make their pick, pardon me, but before it's announced to us, the audience, everybody just glad handing each other, just shaking hands, dapping it up like they solved, you know, global cancer, right? Washington, for instance, you know, I'm waiting. I'm a Washington fan. I'm waiting for their pick. They go with Josh Connerly, tackle from Oregon. I couldn't tell you anything about him, and Adam Peters, the GM we trust, but the way that they were congratulating themselves, you'd thought that, you know, Daryl Green dropped to 29 again in terms of Redskin history. So it was just so funny to watch that. And then my second thing is my imitation of every GM tonight after their second round pick. Here's my imitation of every GM after their second round pick tonight. Okay. Oh, my God. We couldn't believe he was still available.
Right.
Everyone.
This guy was a first rounder on our board, Gil.
That's right. Oh, my God. I can't believe he fell into our lap. You, by the way, so I mentioned Michael Montesano came on here yesterday. He nailed cornerback to the Bills. I believe it was 5-1. Don't hold me to that. Also, or maybe that was wide receiver to the Packers was 5-1. But he also hit Buffalo going to cornerback. I mentioned Matt Brown had first tight end to go, Colston Loveland, plus 475. You made a bet based on this show some time ago.
Yeah, this was in December. Cam Ward to go number one overall at plus 300. I can't remember the guest you had on talking about it. And I don't watch a lot of college football, so I didn't have a like preconceived notion of anything. But it was basically, the take was basically like Cam Ward is by far the best prospect. And at that point, it looked like the Titans or I forget who else was in the mix, but somebody who needed a quarterback was going to be number one. And Ward seemed like the clear number one guy. So I was like, all right, that's enough for me. Let's go.
It might have been Montesano, and 3-1 wasn't even the best. Like, we forget there was a whole period of this, you know, this year where Ward was not fait accompli to go to Tennessee at number one.
Yeah.
All right, to global football, if you will. Let's just talk about the Prem. Liverpool is on the cusp of clinching this.
Yep, they get a point this weekend against Tottenham, and it's all over. So a win or a draw. I mean, it's been over more or less for several months, but officially they would clinch with a win or a draw against Tottenham this weekend.
All right, and how did we do last week?
Last week we went 2-1. We got a Newcastle loss. This wasn't a pick, but Newcastle loss doesn't help our top four play, but there's still even money to be top four, and Brentford got a nice win. So they're now odds-on favorite to finish top half, which we got at plus 400 before the season. But 2-1 overall in the picks last week.
Nice. Moving the chains. All right, we have a three-pack, yep, as always, from you, but we should point out that two are in the Premier League. One is an FA Cup semifinal pick. Could you explain to the person, we do this all the time when an FA Cup pick comes up randomly annually, could you explain to folks where does the FA Cup rank in the hierarchy of international soccer tournaments?
Yeah, so the FA Cup is a domestic tournament in England, and it has clubs from the Premier League all the way down to, you know, Gill's YMCA team or something. There's 700 clubs that enter this tournament, and the Premier League teams come later in the competition, et cetera, and they almost always win. But it's the oldest domestic competition in the world. It started in 1876 or something like that. So very prestigious in England, and every country has some version of a tournament like this where it's kind of like playing your conference tournament in college basketball, but playing it like stretched over the course of a season instead of all in one weekend.
Okay, see, I even got that wrong. I called it an international tournament. It's a domestic tournament in England. Shall we start with that one, FA Cup semifinal pick?
Sure. Yeah, this one is on Sunday. This is a semifinal, so this is a knockout match, so this is a 90-minute bet. Under 2.5 in Nottingham Forest and Manchester City. This game is at Wembley, and Forest is a, you know, they want to win this game 1-0. Like, they want nothing more than that. They beat City 1-0 earlier this season, and that's what they're going to try to do. City's attack has gotten better in some ways. The team has gotten better the last few months, but Erling Haaland is out with an injury, so this is not the high-powered City that we're used to seeing the last few years. Forest is going to keep it tight. It's a knockout match, you know, so if it goes to extra time at 1-1, you win your bet, regardless of what happens in extra time. So I just think this is a classic Forest type of game, knockout, cagey type of match in the semifinals. So simple under 2.5 at minus 105.
Cagey type of match. Nottingham Forest, Man City at Wembley, under 2.5 goals. That is on Sunday. To the Premier League, you have two plays tomorrow. What do you got?
Yep. Got another under here. So more rooting against human achievement. Chelsea Everton, under 2.5. I got this at minus 110. I saw some minus 105s, maybe even monies out there this morning. This game's Saturday. Everton has been an under machine lately. 7 straight games, under 2.5 goals. This is the David Moyes effect, their old manager who's back. We hit this one last week against Manchester City with ease. And Chelsea, you know, they're fighting for a top four spot, but their offense has been pretty anemic lately. Just 6 goals in their last 6 games. And 2 of those were against Ipswich, so those barely count. And so you have a team that doesn't score a lot lately against a team that's not super interested in goals at either end in Everton. Pretty straightforward here, too. Under 2.5. I got it at minus 110. You might be able to find better out there right now.
All right. And then you have one of our favorites, the win to nil bet. We should point out in this day and age, this is not win to NIL. You don't get an NIL deal if you win this. This is win to nil. What do you have here?
That's a very different thing.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Win to nil. Some books have this pre-made. Some books you parlay a win with both teams to score no. So there's a couple different ways to get there, depending on how your book lists the options. So I have Newcastle win to nil against Ipswich Town at plus 105. This is Saturday. Ipswich Town is on the verge of being relegated. Newcastle is fighting for a top four, or really top five spot now in a Champions League berth. Five games against newly promoted teams this year, Newcastle has won them all and allowed a total of one goal. And you throw out one game where they got an early red card and they've only given up a total of two expected goals. They're running a little bit hot, but not terribly. They've just dominated these newly promoted teams on the whole. And Ipswich is very much that, a bottom three in just about every offensive and defensive category this year, which is why they're going to go back down. So Newcastle to coast at home, win to nil, plus 105.
All right, Chelsea, Everton under 2.5 goals tomorrow in the Premier League. Newcastle win to nil against Ipswich Town also tomorrow. And then the FA Cup semifinal on Sunday, Nottingham Forest and Man City under 2.5 goals on Sunday. Paul, enjoy the weekend. Good luck with the bets.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, you too. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason Weingarten, all his thoughts and bets on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400 all in. You'll get a two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. And apparently, as the kids feel these days, if you get a day bed, the girls look at you. I think that's the strategy. All for just $400. Resort fees and taxes included. We got them on our own merits back in the day. Now you got to get a day bed. This limited time offer is valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. Let me repeat that. $400 all-in, two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim. No resort fees, taxes on top of the $400. It's all included. Wow. CircaLasVegas.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. JC at JC562076. Did your viewer say 23 and solo trip to Vegas? My goodness, us married millennials dream. Am I right? I believe he said 24 and single on his way solo trip to Vegas, but your sentiment remains correct. It's pretty amazing. Jason H11. I hope Kelly really caught that fish and it wasn't one of those where the guide hooks it and Kelly just reels it in. Kelly says it was all him, for the record. Trip Tepper. Trip, I think you're right about this. He said the trades by the Jags and the Falcons, respectively, were bonkers. Atlanta also gifted the Rams a 2026 first-round pick. Browns and Rams both fleece their trade partners. GM Terry Fontenot commits elder abuse on Arthur Blank 2 years in a row on draft night. Yeah, I've been going off about the Browns and the Jaguars. I don't know if I've been going off, but I do not see the wisdom in trading your first-round pick. First, I mean, picks in general, I don't think some teams get how valuable they are. But first, my goodness, for Travis Hunter and then Atlanta doing it, I don't get it. You've got to be right on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl to do something like that to me. Scott, New York Mets 16. May have to put an R rating on Numbers Game second hour as Chris Felica was potty mouth on his podcast and Gil drops an F-bomb on the Will Hill podcast. Get the dump button ready because who knows what Fezzik may do. Yeah, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing. But we'll see with the guests. You can never tell with those guys. Joe C714, wasn't the Rams moving their pick to the Falcons this year for the 2026 first the best move besides the Browns? What's the over-under for Falcons wins next year? Love it. So he's with that sentiment about trading firsts not being a great thing. D-Gen Southern Gent, already sent that one. This is 3Jack, H3131. Gil, it's been a long week, and I'm thankful for it being Friday, but can you explain, if you know what I mean, in more detail? It felt like the second half of the draft made more sense. Maybe it's because those teams win. I think there is some wisdom in that, that those teams do win, and there's a reason why they win. I can't remember what I said, if you know what I mean about, though. I must say that. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. At Spreadopedia is his Twitter handle. And he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. It's doing pretty good. You know, had the draft last night. Got to watch the Clipper game. And now we're going to do the draft again. Got some baseball today. It should be a good day.
Can you, or am I allowed to say this? Are you going to be mad at me for saying what the exchange that just happened before we got on air? Am I allowed to talk about that real briefly? Because I thought it was funny.
Go for it.
Jason is engaged to his lovely bride-to-be. And I asked Jason, I go, is there a date? And Jason, you said what?
May 18th.
And then what did you quickly say right after that?
Apparently I was wrong and it's May 31st.
She off camera, she's like, May 31st. Jason is off to a flying start. Okay. Let's start with the draft before we get to your baseball plays. You've been tweeting about Shador dropping here, and Shador is available tonight. You think that he will, I mean, Cleveland's got the first pick tonight. They've got the 33rd overall. They got the 36th. So that's first and fourth in the second round. And then New Orleans has the 40th pick, which is the eighth pick in the second round. So within eight picks, you have the Browns and the Saints with three picks. You might think they would want to draft a quarterback. Do you think they do? One of them.
I don't really see anything that's changed overnight that makes me think that you need to draft him here. If you didn't want to draft him at 23 or 32 or move up to get him, I don't necessarily think you need to draft him at 30 or 30, you know, at 30, 33 or 34. Honestly, I'm not even sure he's going to be a second round pick. I think he could drop to the third. You know, the narrative around him was all narrative. I think ESPN did a massive disservice to him last night, continuing to talk about him, you know, when Cam Ward was being selected. I thought the draft coverage by ESPN last night was you know, horrible.
Can I stop you there? You're absolutely right about that. That was really weird. Like, Cam Ward is about to be drafted or was just drafted, and they're still going on about Shador. I thought that was really a disservice to Cam, too, for sure.
I said this morning on Twitter, and I said it in all seriousness, but Mel Kiper should be pulled off the air today. I mean, in no world should he have been allowed by the production to go on the draft and just continue to talk about Shador Sanders when it was clear that not only was he not going to be drafted, but his analysis was completely wrong. I mean, he embarrassed himself on the air last night. They're talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame as a contributor. I think last night should clearly end that conversation.
It calls up another thing about the broadcast too. This came up, Will and I were talking about this on his podcast yesterday, which is we've also gotten to an era. This is a little different than what we were just talking about, but we've also gotten in, because you brought up Kiper. You remember the famous footage of him saying the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts don't understand the draft. And then Bill Polian came on and went after Kiper. ESPN, they don't go after, they don't say much negative anymore about players. It's become way too vanilla of a broadcast as well, where nothing that controversial is said because they're all kind of scared about any backlash, or maybe they're too far in bed with the NFL now with their TV contracts. So that's part of the broadcast too that I sort of miss a lot about. But the Shador thing's interesting, and again, I'll say it again. I think a lot of the hate towards Shador is drift hate on people who don't like Deion. I did think that the NFL assistant coach who really went after him but was anonymous, that's gutless, right? You should get
that. I thought that was unprofessional, and I was surprised that the NFL allowed that to be published on one of their own, you know, their own site, essentially.
Totally agree. But I will say this, right? But on the other hand, and Shador might be a nice kid, on the other hand, people don't like flashiness if you haven't done anything. And people might perceive him to be that way, right? He doesn't do himself any favors either. I think both things are true.
The NFL doesn't care that he's Deion Sanders' son, and I think it actually works against him significantly, especially with Deion being a prominent coach. If you're an NFL coach and you're on the hot seat, the last thing you want is Shador Sanders in your quarterback room having to answer questions every week about Deion wanting your job, or Deion getting questions about his son every week at his Colorado press conferences. It's a disaster of a situation. Deion did his son no favors the last couple of years, kind of, you know, putting all this focus around him and doing all the stuff he did. The NFL didn't buy it. When it came time for, you know, everyone to ante up at the table, the NFL said, no, we're not interested.
Yes.
He's going to have to wait, and he might keep waiting. I'm not sure he goes in the top half of the second round. He will get drafted. He will get drafted. He will have an NFL career. He will get an opportunity, but I'm not sure it's going to be early today. I'm not sure when it's going to be. And it's just, the writing's been on the wall. It's been on the wall for months. It's been on the wall since him and his camp said he's not going to attend the draft. And everybody who's been hyping this and talking about it, and ESPN has done just an incredible disservice to Shador, you know, putting him in this situation to begin with. He's probably been getting bad advice. There's so much around the draft. I mean, we only have a couple minutes, but Travis Hunter mentioned last night that he was looking at Zillow's in Jacksonville on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So this whole narrative around the trade, you know, happening, I mean, seems like they had a trade, you know, at least in principle a day before. So so much of this narrative and stuff surrounding the draft is just, there's no truth to it at this point.
Well, you are correct. The proof is in the pudding, and no one thought well enough of Shadur to go first round. And yeah, I mean, the Travis Hunter trade stuff and looking at Zillow and Jacksonville is a little bit eyebrow raising as well. By the way, Shadur -350 to go to the Browns today at DraftKings, +350 to go to the Raiders, 6-1 to go to the New Orleans Saints, everybody else 12-1 or longer. Real quick, baseball, Skeens versus Yamamoto. I know you've got an opinion on that tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Like I said last week, with Yamamoto was playing against Grom and the Rangers, I'll be waiting for the first inning price to tick higher today, and then I'll bet the best first inning price I can get. Total's currently 7, so you're going to get a very nice number there. Yamamoto's within $1 of Skeens for the Cy Young favorite, so you have the two Cy Young favorites going against each other tonight. Should be a great game. I'm looking forward to watching that. I got Chris Sale and the Braves -124, and Abbott and the Reds -114 versus the Rockies. Anytime you could lay -114 versus the Rockies this season, you're probably going to have to do it. Go Dodgers, I guess.
Are you making a play on the Dodgers, though, or no?
No, I'm thinking about going to the game, though, tonight. It should be a fun game.
Okay.
Going to be the chance to see two Cy Young pitchers. It's going to be a game worth watching.
Absolutely. But we do have the two picks from Jason. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man. Jason Weingarten, everybody. Coming back with Felica and Fezzik next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek is around. In for Kelly Bidlin, who will be back, I believe, on Tuesday of next week, enjoying his family reunion or get together or vacation in Turks. Good for him. Catching fishes. Big fishes. People say fishes. By the way, Travis Hunter, 2025 receiving yards with the Jaguars. These props are already up. Also with the Jaguars, it really doesn't matter. 700 plus receiving yards, +125, 800 plus, +275, 900 plus, 5-1, and then 1,000 plus receiving yards, you can get at +750 if you believe that Travis Hunter is going to have a big rookie season catching the football. And then yak ensues. But again, there are a lot of people who feel like, hey, look, if you insist on playing both ways, can you be great at either? Wide receiver or cornerback? Is the Jags sell the farm? Maybe not the farm, but at least a good portion of the farm to get up to draft him at number two. The other thing that happened on the broadcast, and Wyatt reminded me of this in my ears, did you catch on the ESPN broadcast yesterday the random, this is how ridiculous, I mean, and look, we're all guilty of it. I'll raise my hand. The NFL is our religion. It is our national everything. And so, you know, NFL and ESPN, they can get away with almost anything. So in the middle of the draft, did you catch this, the middle of the first round, the awkward moment when the lovely and talented Laura Rutledge was up on stage with Colleen Wolfe to announce when the schedule would be announced. Announcement of the announcement. And that was a little cringy. Yeah, a little awkward, but that's how big the NFL is. So May 14th, by the way, if you're scoring at home, I believe was the date, May 14th, when the NFL schedule will be announced. An announcement to make the announcement. Chris Velika joins us now, one-time ESPN stalwart, now at Fox Sports. You know him as the Bear. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Velika. Bear Bets Podcast, the Bear Bets Podcast empire over there at Fox Sports. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Christopher, how was your draft? Are you ever betting this again?
Cringy and awkward would probably be good words to describe my my draft night as well. Yeah, no, it was anytime your biggest three positions are affected by a ridiculous trade by a 17-year-old GM in Jacksonville overpaying for the number two pick. It's not I had Banks to be taken sixth by the Raiders, Genty over 6.5, and Mason Graham over 5.5. All of those swung. Based on that trade and the position of the teams that were going. So, yeah, it was not a it was not a good night. I guess we should be fortunate in a sense that a lot of these books don't want to book it and didn't have it up long, because I probably would have lost more money. So I guess in theory, thanks for it to BetMGM for limiting me to $3.79 on bets. It could have been a much worse night. But yeah, it brings into a lot of thinking about that.
Yes.
In the future. How much do you want to bet? I guess you even mentioned it, I think, earlier in the week about how if you're betting this thing based on a sequence, all it takes is one thing to go wrong, mm-hmm. and everything else more than likely is going to. And that's pretty much what happened last night, at least for me. But I'm going to be back at it tonight. That's for sure. I'm looking at that 33rd pick, and I am 99.9% sure it's not going to be Shedeur Sanders. I think if you're looking maybe at, I don't think they're taking him. I think you can maybe take a look at someone like Charvion Henderson. I think you can take a look at maybe Mason Taylor. And I think that someone along those, maybe Luther Burden. I think someone who, at 34, the Texans might be interested in, just given their wide receiver woes as well.
Do you think, and you seem to be a man, I know you to be this man, and you just sort of alluded to it, a man of intel, intelligence and intel, by the way, both things. Do you think, or would you have your ear to the ground, or the buzz, whatever the cliche is, that Jalen Milroe and maybe Tyler Shuck from Louisville will go before Shedeur? Is that possible?
I don't know about Shuck just because of the age thing.
He'll be 26, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Milroe goes before him at all. There might be there are a couple of head-to-heads out there. Yeah, the Milroe head-to-head is with, I think it's with Shuck. Yeah, yeah. I see a Milroe. Will Milroe go first before Tyler Shuck? Milroe minus 145. I don't see a head-to-head with Shedeur, but they do have the, who ultimately will draft Shedeur Sanders some. And by the way, there is a I'm thumbing through this right now. There is a who will be the 34th pick in the draft, and Luther Burden is up there. He is the third choice at plus 430. So you could maybe take a little dabble on that too. It's all only right. money, right?
So it's only money, Chris. That's what we talk about here. So wait, so just to clarify, so what are your bets then into tonight?
Yeah. I'm going to bet right now Luther Burden to be the 34th pick in the draft at plus 430, and then I'm probably going to bet Trevion Henderson to be the 33rd pick in the draft.
Okay. Trevion to go 33rd, Luther Burden to go 34th.
And I have no idea where Shedeur's going to go.
Yeah, those are
he won't go 33rd, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny because you talked about intel. The guys who have been really good to me in the past with information, it melted down last night.
Wow.
Yes, I'm in this year, alternating year of good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. So, last year was great. This year, not so much.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes the intel doesn't even manifest. So 33rd pick is the first pick, obviously, tonight. 34th, the second pick in the second round. And one other clarification. James Gladstone, the GM of the Jaguars, not 17
He's not
years
17.
Old. He's 34 years old, but you get the idea. Just to be thorough about it. All right. You have before we get to your, well, let's get your soccer play since we're talking domestic football. Let's do your global football plays.
Yeah, I hit the parlay, which was like plus 203, I think it was last week. We got it home. Liverpool a little sweaty late, but I threw together another three teamer. Again, it's Paul Carr hit on one of the legs before Newcastle minus a goal and a half against Ipswich. Looking to secure their Champions League spot. Ipswich going down. Bayern Munich to beat Mainz. Bayern, I think, can clinch the Bundesliga this week if they win and Leverkusen lose. But they're a big favorite over Mainz, who beat them in the reverse fixture earlier this year. So I would think Bayern would win relatively easily. And then Liverpool to go out and win on Sunday and clinch the Premier League over Tottenham. Spurs are in complete disarray right now. It's a really big deal for Liverpool. When they won the league in 2020, none of the fans could be involved. They couldn't be there. It was just a very, for a club that hinges on their fans and Anfield and that stadium so much. This is going to be a coronation and a celebration Sunday at Anfield, and I would be very surprised if Liverpool didn't go out and win something along the lines of 3-0 or 3-1 or 4-1 or something like that.
By the way, just
that's +132 on that parlay.
+132. By the way, just back to the draft for a second. You know who else is still up there? Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan, who at one time was mocked to go top 10, right?
Yeah, his medicals came back really bad from what I gather. He has an over-under of 38.5 right now, and I thought about going under, but the one thing that's holding me back is the Raiders. I know Ravel, Siobhan Ravel from ECU is still out there. Trey Amos is still out there. But with Spytek and those Michigan ties, with Brady now owning the team, like the Raiders picking at 36 could potentially be a spot for Will Johnson. So I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger on Will Johnson over 38.5.
Okay. You have a baseball make-miss playoff bet.
Yeah, I bet it a couple of days ago at -140, and it's up to -160 now, but I would still play it. And I'm playing the Baltimore Orioles to miss the playoffs. Only the White Sox and the Rockies have a worse run differential right now than the Orioles.
Yeah.
They've got the highest team ERA. They've got the highest team opponent team batting average. For a team that like has been lauded for their farm system and, oh, we have hope and the future is bright, they've done nothing with that farm system to really help the team moving forward. I didn't mind that they did not re-sign Corbin Burns, and I think his performance so far has kind of warranted that. But Grayson Rodriguez being out, their rotation, like I said, is terrible. Their bullpen is up and down. Batista's getting back now. But I think this is probably the time to strike. If you look at their next 9 games, Yankees, Tigers, Royals, you're going to be facing Skubal, Jackson Jobe, Rodon, Bubich, Waka, and maybe Cole Ragans if his groin injury is okay. This could be like a 3-6 type spell where they even fall further and further behind. So Orioles -160 to miss the playoffs was something that I really liked.
All right, Chris, and now what everybody's been waiting for. The Vatican will convene a papal conclave in which the College of Cardinals comes together to elect the church's next head. These are bettable offshore. The rules of the conclave, by the way, this is a thing. I'm not making any of this up. State that of the 252 cardinals, 138 qualify as electors. Only those under the age of 80 may take part in the secret ballot in the Sistine Chapel. 4 rounds of voting take place every day until a candidate receives 2/3 of the vote. That's the black smoke, white smoke thing. Only when the white smoke comes do we have a new pope elected. It typically lasts 15 to 20 days, this process. According to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and the belief is that the Holy Spirit will move the conclave to find the worthy successor to St. Peter. And of the last 6 conclaves, only Pope Benedict in 2005 would emerge as Pope, having entered as the favorite. So many look for compromise candidates. It's a bartering thing. You have a bet for us?
I do. I bet Luis Antonio Tay, who is the favorite, I bet him just because I see him as someone who kind of will extend the Pope Francis doctrine kind of deal. Like, this is not, I'm not getting anything politically here, but of the 135 cardinals who can
you
vote,
got 5 seconds.
Like 108 of them were installed by Pope Francis. So I think you're going to get someone a little bit more left-leaning.
There
but
you go.
I wish we could have done more time.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. By the way, we checked the tape, and Steve Fezzik, in fact, did curse. He's a potty mouth, and I don't know why he and Dr. Bob and Felica wait till this hour to curse, but they sure do. What do you have to say for yourself? Anything?
I have no comment.
Okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Stringfellow Hawk. Felica's papal breakdown wasn't nearly as cringe as I expected. Glad he got that in. I'm still not betting it, though. Hashtag Dante's Inferno. I think that's a great sentiment. I'm not betting it either. I don't want terrible things to happen to me. Yes, and anyone who's complaining, it's just fake outrage. I broke down the process of how the conclave elects a pope. I hope we learned something today. I hope we did. Bruce Dobing, and I watch NFL Channel. NFL Network, he means, because when it descends into minutia, Rich Eisen rescues the mood. Yes, he is great at that. Worst part is the slavish Goodell worship, which he pays them for. Well, they're in bed together, the NFL Network, as part of the NFL. It's time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. I have the two plays in the one game today, the White Sox Athletics in Sacktown, Bay Area and back down. Going over 9 for the full game, F5, first 5, I'm going over 5. We have two fly ball pitchers in Luis Severino today. Tyler Gibson, is it? No, Tyler Gibson, somebody else. Anyway, we have two fly ball pitchers today in this ball game in Sacramento. And again, over the last couple days, it has been, by the way, we have a pitching change now, do we? Oh, no, I'm seeing a pitching change. This could torpedo everything. Sean Burke. I got to do a little fly ball analysis on him. So this is the thing, right, when they switch a pitcher on you like this. So anyway, that's the play. I've already made my bets, but it was under the assumption we were going to get the previous starter in here. But we do get Sean Burke. By the way, Sean Burke is a fly ball pitcher, so we're okay. He does have fly ball characteristics in his profile. So we're good. Over 9, full game, over 5, first 5, Burke versus Severino in Sacramento. Have you seen the shots of the stadium? Again, it's only 14,000 people. They have like a fake Machu Picchu thing outside of the ballpark there in Sacramento. And then they got like a toy-looking bridge. It's fascinating to watch.
I like that because Machu Picchu is at such a high elevation or altitude, the ball travels further.
There you go. Well done. That's why you're here, Steve. Paul Carr with his soccer plays. 2 in the Premier League tomorrow. Chelsea, Everton, under 2.5 goals. And then Newcastle win to nil versus Ipswich Town. Then on Sunday in the FA Cup semi, which I know you're all about. Nottingham Forest, Man City, under 2.5 goals. Also another total play there from Paul. Who was next on the show? This was from Jason Weingarten. Jason Weingarten stopped in. He's got a couple baseball plays today. He's on the Braves and the Reds. The Braves and the Reds are his two plays in Major League Baseball today. Chris Velika, man, was this kid thorough today. 3-leg parlay in soccer. Newcastle minus the goal and a half versus Ipswich. Liverpool to beat Tottenham. And then Bayern Munich to beat Mainz. How do you pronounce that? Mainz? Do you pronounce that? Plus 132 on that is what that parlay would pay. Roughly thereabouts. He also had a season long in baseball, the Orioles, on the Orioles Baseball Network, the Birds, the O's, to miss the playoffs at minus 140. And then the NFL draft, second round tonight. He's got Travion Henderson to go 33rd. That's the first pick in the second round at 6-1. Cleveland on the clock right now. And then he's got Luther Burden III to go 34th, which is the second pick tonight. At plus 430. We shall see where Shador goes. We shall see where Jalen Milroe goes as well, among others. Stevie Fezzik, in case you missed it, he's got a couple more baseball-adjusted season win totals. Twins under 79.5 wins. Rays under 78.5 wins. And the Mets to win the NL East. Steve said they clinched it already. That is incorrect. It is still April. Mets to win the NL East at minus 125. He loves calling things in advance because people hate when bets are jinxed, but Stevie thinks it's funny. And then the T-Wolves tonight, game 3 against the Lakers. T-Wolves minus 3 in game number 3. Is that going to be a contest pick for you? Are you going to call your contest shot on that?
I'm not going to disclose. can get my picks 1 hour prior to the games starting.
Not going to disclose. G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. Proudly sponsoring the show and all the shows here at VSiN with all of the recap of bets from every host and every guest and every sport. Upping the ante is G-Bank with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval, terms, and conditions apply. Vegas Golden Knights. We live in Las Vegas, so we are surrounded at all times by passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. They lose last night again to the Wild. They are down 2-1 in this series. And that's kind of two games in a row where the Wild have kind of just taken them out, taken them to the woodshed. I'm just curious. You're not a hockey bettor necessarily. But I was talking before the show, we were talking about this. The Golden Knights fan base, they've been around for, what is it, six seasons now? They got to the Stanley Cup Finals in their inaugural season. They lost in, excuse me, they won the Stanley Cup two seasons ago. And they've had varying playoff success in between. One year they didn't make it. But anyway, you don't go to the Stanley Cup Finals your first year of existence. You don't win one in your first five seasons. And so this is one of these series as a Washington Capitals fan, right, as a lifelong Caps fan, this feels very Capitals-ish to me. Like, oh, now you're a hockey fan because now you get to experience what this kind of agitas feels like, which is you have a really good regular season, and now, oh, no, we might get bounced early here.
You know, what's interesting is you had a listener ask, you know, where should I stay when I come to Vegas? You know, the Golden Knights, you know, plan your trip around when they are actually in town, because even if you don't go to the game, the energy, the buzz. I remember one time I was just traveling, and there's Daniel Negreanu wearing his Golden Knights, you know, a poker player, big hockey fan, and everyone's taking a little tram over, you know, from the Bellagio towards the stadium, and it was just a lot of excitement outside the arena. Vegas really does a great job with it.
Does a great job. By the way, what is your answer to that question that the gentleman who asked, like, where would you stay in Vegas? It depends on what his goals are, right? You have to identify your goals.
Yeah. If you're bougie and you've got an unlimited budget, of course you stay at the Wynn Encore. I'm not a big fan of Center Strip, actually. I find it to be overrated. If you want some place where if you want to feel like you belong, I got to tell you, and you got a car, the South Point. And there's something for everyone. Michael's is the highest end restaurant, all the way down to like the food specials and the like. A really, you know, low priced old Vegas buffet, bowling, movie theaters, something for everyone. So if I don't know anything about you, I would send you to South Point. If you love sports, I would send you to Circa if you don't have kids.
Are you impressed with Kelly Bidlin being on vacation in Turks and Caicos catching fish and doing that kind of thing?
No. And here's why. He should be getting a free vacation with his family. He should be a Diamond member, which is, we're 10 years from now, we're going to talk about, like, if you're a Diamond or even a Platinum member, you get a free vacation from courtesy of Caesars.
Remember, I used to say this. I'm like, we'll look back on that Bahamas thing as like, wow, remember when?
Yeah, so you get to go to Atlantis and stay for free in their modest tower if you're a Platinum. If you're a Diamond, you stay in the medium tower. And if you're a 7-star, you stay at the Cove, $800 a night lodging for free, Gil. For free.
For free. All right. I hope Kelly's listening. He's been admonished. All right. Last 2 minutes here. Give us an idea here. Because we always talk about different subjects there in your mind. But give us an idea. For those who are catching you for the first time, give us an idea of your day. You leave here. When does the betting begin for you?
Well, it's already begun. So I typically start betting around in an ideal day, like 6 a.m. Because I want to get to it first. So like Paul Skeens is pitching, we want to bet the Pirates first five innings, or Schoolball's pitching, you know, and try to get ahead of, you know, the early morning line moves. There's a fellow, I'll say it, you know, JB Wins is a guy who gives out his picks at 6:30 a.m. I bet his stuff, you know, so I'm like,
Dr. Bob famously
comes out like a marathon conference call. So Dr. Bob will give out a pick every 90 seconds, and sometimes he has 40 picks.
Yeah.
You do the math. So I'm going to be late for your show, Gil, because I'm betting Dr. Bob from 6:30 to 7:30. So basically, you know, and I take my son to school every morning. Now, sometimes he's late to school.
Really?
Sometimes early. Yeah, I'll vary. Usually, and very rarely.
You allow that kind of stuff from him?
I also do this. I love, sometimes I go early with them. And we'll go, and I'll drop him off like a half hour early, and we'll bring a basketball, and we'll just do, like, there's a park right next to his Coral Academy, so we'll do fast break drills.
Oh, there you go.
And he's like, they teach these kids, he's 14, they teach him the Euro step and all this stuff.
They teach the Euro step?
Oh, they do all this stuff. And I'm like, the fundamentals, one dribble maximum, you and I, we're just going to do a fast break back and forth until I pass out, you know? And and it's amazing how he doesn't like to do that. It's like there's no... like fundamentals anymore.
But when the games are going on tonight, you basically are alone in a room.
And then when I get, I'll work out, whatever, and I'll come back, and then I'm in my office. And what, famously, we have a thread with the Bear and with Todd Wishnev and Will Hill and yourself, and we're texting each other back and forth about politics. Thanks, Todd. That's helpful. No, we're texting about, you know, who we're betting, and Will Hill has all these prop bets that we're playing, and the Bear comes in, you come in. It's a lot of fun. A
lot of fun. Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Thanks for keeping it clean in that last segment, at least. Appreciate that.
Too much freaking politics.
At Fezzik Sports, proceed with caution on Twitter. Stormy is next with Money Moves, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.